Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson, part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news of the USWFL as well as other sports talk. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome back to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Good Thursday, rainy evening here in East Tennessee. No doubt. It's rained a ton all day today. Hopefully it's going to clear up for the weekend. We're planning on going to roping this coming weekend. Guys having I used to rope with all the time years ago. Built a new arena at his house. We're going over there hopefully Saturday evening to rope a little bit. We did get to practice a little bit this week, and I feel like things went better. And like I say, it's just a working process. Step by step, you have to keep getting better every week, every day that you get to. We actually got Jennifer back roping a little bit, too, so we can hopefully get back in the swing of it. I know she still loves to play football, and that's going to take top priority, but nevertheless, we got her riding and roping, and hopefully, you know, she can get back in the swing of things. Rope pretty good for not to. We figured up the other night, I guess it's been 4 or 5 years since she's picked up a rope. So actually five at the start before the 2019 season, I believe. So yeah, I've been 5 years. So that's a long time not to rope any off the horse or anything. Her horse is like the rest of us. He's getting old and don't move as good as he once used to, but she may do. And a lot of fun. We just went to practice the guy's house that I worked for. They got a pretty nice little arena. We went down there for 2 or 3 hours and had fun. You know, that if you don't know a lot about roping and rodeos, I'm sure, but, you know, it's become huge. I mean, you know, and the 1st of September here, having a truck roping in Cleveland, Tennessee, giving a truck away to the high money roper in that division. I'm hoping to get ready to go compete in that thing a little bit. I don't know that I will, but that's been my goal for a while. But excuse me, we'll have to see how things keep progressing and see how it goes. But, you know, the sport of rodeo used to be the fastest growing sport. Now, I know, you know, it's not, I mean, they don't have a set schedule. Well, I mean, they do, but it ain't like football that you just have, you know, every week where you're playing here and there. In roping, they'll have roping, and you'll know where you're going, but our rodeos, the professional guys that rope in rodeos, yeah, they got a schedule out for them. And, you know, they go compete every weekend somewhere, and that is their job. I mean, that's what they do. And the ultimate goal for them is to be whatever event they choose, whether it be team roping, bull riding, women's barrel racing, bulldog and calf roping, deer tripping, whatever the case may be. You know, whatever your event is, the ultimate goal is to make the NFR. And NFR is the National Finals Rodeo. It's held every year, usually the first week in December in Las Vegas. And it's really fun to go to. They have it in the Thomas and Mack Arena out there where the Las Vegas Running Rebels play ball. And it's a small arena. And these people put on a show. You got the best bull rider. You've got the top of everything in that sport there, and they compete for 10 straight days. And it's a long week for them. You wouldn't think it, but they do trade shows and all that stuff. They have what they call Cowboy Christmas during this time, and they set up, I mean, this stuff everywhere. I mean, we usually go for 5 or 6 days, and you really can't even get through it all. Usually, I'll find some people I know and stay there and hang out with them for a long time while Jennifer goes and looks. She likes to look in every booth, and I just like to look in the stuff that I like. And so usually I'll find some of those people and hang out with them for a while, or, you know, some of my buddies that I know that sing, we'll hang out with them and meet some people. They usually do a lot of interviews. And the year we was out there, not this past year, of course, but the year before that, the Lloyd off of Yellowstone was there. The Laney Wilson singer was there. And so they have all kinds of stuff like that. And, I mean, it's a huge – you can't imagine how big this is during this time of year. And Jennifer just came from Vegas, and she was like, the traffic it is when we're out here in December. And then on top of that, they have what they call the World Series of Team Roping, and it is probably the biggest team roping in the world, I would say. I know to win a roping pays probably $500,000 or $600,000. Of course, the entry fees are pretty steep, and there's a lot of good ropers there, but somebody's going to win it, you know, and that's the way it is. And I do know some guys. Matter of fact, the guy that I used to rope with all the time named Chad Fairchild, he's the CEO of Carroll Leather, which makes rodeo apparel, biker apparel. Me and him have roped a bunch and won a lot of money. Him and another guy that I've known forever named Glenn Terrell, they went out there and won like $88,000 each several years ago. So somebody's going to win it. It's huge. They have that at South Point, and there's trade shows out there. I mean, they have everything. I mean, it's not just Western wear. I mean, they have booths set up for salsa, garden hose, anything you can think of, they set up out there. And I'm telling you, it's huge. They have them all over the place. And then on top of that, you know, like I said, it's in Vegas. We get out and ride around. Last time we was there, we went to the Hoover Dam, went to the Grand Canyon, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So got off track a little bit. The thing is, these events throughout the year is, you know, how much money they win is how they qualify. They take the top 15 headers, top 15 heelers, and the top 15 in each event. And they go to what they call the national finals. And they have each night is what they call a round. And they start at round one. And to win, to be the fastest time or the highest score in the judging event or barrel racing, to be the fastest time, you win a significant amount of money. I mean, and then at the end of the week, if you've had good times and qualified on all your runs, then they pay the average on 10. So it's nothing for these guys to go out there and win $150,000 and $250,000 in these events. So it's huge. It's gotten bigger every year. Fishing gets tougher. You got these young gals, you know, starting to come on. And, you know, it's just like the young boy that I've been helping, my boss's son. You can tell how much better he's getting every time, you know, and that I've seen, you know, and they'll start to figure it out where us old people really struggle. And, you know, we was talking about, we went and visited Jennifer's grandmother yesterday, I believe it was, and Jennifer's talking, well, Dave kept us out all night roping, you know, and we struggled all day because we'd been out, and he's ready to rope again yesterday evening. So a lot of young people have taking over the sport. And, you know, it's a lot like football. You know, these young girls and these young boys, you look at, you know, what's happening in college. You know, you got these true freshmen coming in and starting on these college teams. Well, it's no different than in rodeo, you know. And so they make it tough. So, you know, just like in women's football, they have divisions of roping, and depending on what your handicap is, they give you a handicap, like sort of like golf, and they have classes that you and your partner, if your number, what it is, you got a number, and if your number fits, you can enter those ropings. And so that's how they come up with this. But as far as just planning an event, these rodeos scheduled throughout the year, that is their, you know, that's their schedule. And it ain't like, you know, a set schedule. Like, you know, Jennifer already knows what University of Tennessee's football schedule is. Well, you know, like her favorite Bulldogger, he's retired now, but he's from California, and he had probably had certain rodeos that he went to, but, you know, they a lot of times fly in there, borrow horses, this, that, and other. The last time we was in Wyoming, she got to see him live run a steer, and I believe he went second at that rodeo, and they have like 50 days of rodeo, and it's all throughout the West, but it's grown huge. And, you know, it's like the PBRs now on CBS, and, you know, they got big sponsors, and this stuff's starting to catch on. And, you know, it used to be, like I said, rodeo used to be the fastest growing sport in America. And the thing is, you meet a lot of really good people along the way. Now, you do meet a lot of people that ain't so good, but you meet a lot of really good people along the way, and a lot of good families. And you know, like I said, people are in it that I've known for, well, ever since I was a kid. So it's been around for a long time. I know we're trying to get our niece Paisley involved in it, in horses and stuff. And the last time we went to a roping, she went with us and had a ball. And I believe she's going this weekend. We need to try to get her mom and them to get her a horse so, you know, she can really get involved. It's hard not to when all the other kids there have horses and they're just out running around doing whatever, and you ain't, or you have to borrow one, and, you know, so. But it's real family-oriented, and, you know, it's a lot like football, that it's just one, you know, you play on a team, there's always an exception to the rule, but most of the teams get really close, you know, and that's what I love about roping. And then it's, you know, there's usually only two of you. Well, you can enter more than once, but two of you. And they get to going, and you can enter as much as you want. So there's all kinds of stuff you can do and enter and all that. So, you know, it's a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it, to maybe competing, you know, for the truck, and so maybe we can bring home a truck. But who knows? We got a lot of work to do before then, but no doubt. Well, I was hoping that I could get Mike Wallace to talk, Coach Mike Wallace, to come in here and talk to us tonight, or call in, talk about their game. You know, he coaches over here at a local high school called Tri-City Christian, and they actually play on Saturday. He told me the other day they play on Saturday at South Carolina. Sorry, I can't think straight. Carolina on Saturday, and so I was hoping he'd call in, but I know they had a joint practice in Morristown, and he said he didn't know if he'd be able to make it or not. I was hoping he would be able to call in and talk to us about that. You know, it's that time. Jennifer was telling me today that she's hauling kids to next Friday night. Football starts, I guess, for the most of the high schools. That's a private school where he works, and these local high schools are starting this Friday night, and so it's coming not this Friday night, but next Friday night, and so that they had they get to local TV has the local TV has the Friday night rivals, and they ain't gonna cover this game because money rights. They want the Scientia, which is in Johnson City, they have a local channel down there called WJHL and WCYB here local, covers all the Friday night rivals. And since Scientia, I guess, is in the Johnson City TV area, they want money or something. I'm not sure, but one of the biggest games of the year is going to happen next Friday night in Johnson City between Elizabethan Cyclones and the Science Hill Hilltoppers, and that's the team Jennifer is hauling players to. So it's hard to believe it's here. I swear it just seems like the other day that it was over, you know, and fall's just right around the corner. You know, college football, I heard 3 weeks away from starting. You know, the NFL's already having preseason games. They had the Hall of Fame game last week. And so, you know, it's here. I mean, football's here. You know, women's football is 4 months away from 4 months away from starting regular practice. You know, I know the USWFL is working hard on getting teams and getting everything lined up. It's a whole different look this year, whole different perspective, different teams and all that, different approach. So, you know, these women's football keeps growing by leaps and bounds. It really does. And I'm surprised that, you know, every year it seems like there's more teams pop up and more leagues pop up. And, you know, it ain't up to me to decide who does that. And it's hard, no doubt about it. But, you know, somebody gets mad here and somebody gets mad there and they leave and go play. And that's how all the teams start, you know. If somebody don't want to play here anymore, so they go start their own team. That's the way it is. But, you know, I know this, that it's not too far away from kicking off. And it'll be here before you know it. You know, I know before it gets too far, the AFE All-Stars are going to Mexico in November, going over there to play. And I believe they're playing 4 or 5 games in a week span. And you want to talk about tough? That'll be tough. They went over there last year and I believe played 3 or 4 games, and I think they've got one more game to play this year than they had had before. So it's definitely going to be here before we know it, no doubt. You know, and recruiting, it's unbelievable to me that, you know, that how fast that I can just remember when it used to, several years ago, season would be over in the June, and if you're lucky enough playing a championship in July, and then you took a break, you know, you really didn't even start wearing it. You'd have a couple of tryouts along the way, but after that, you couldn't, you know, you'd get a few people, and then you'd start practicing in December, late December. I always tried to start the last week in December and start official practice, and now, shoot, I mean, season's over and you're already recruiting. You see players out there in all-star games wearing stuff on their helmets that's free agent. You got, you know, transfer portal now, and I don't know how it all works, but there's players in it, kinds of stuff to do for for these players to move to other teams. It don't seem that travel's that big an issue for the serious players. They want to go play on teams that, you know, make them feel wanted and make them feel like that they fit in. And every team is not a fit for every person. I mean, you look at what happened with the Jalen Hurts situation at Alabama, you know, and I can remember back to this, and when he got, I don't know if you'd call the term bench, but when he got replaced by Tua, they was talking about he wouldn't pull the trigger on throwing the ball. He was passing up early passes and reads and all that to just run the ball. And you know, he gets relief, and Tua comes in relief, and they go on to win that and all. And now you look, you know, he goes to Oklahoma and just runs wild, and you look at what he did out there, and then now he's in the pros, and he's just taken off, and he's had a better career than Tua's had. You know, it just, every team just ain't a fit for every player. And I'm just using that as an example. I mean, certain teams run certain offenses that, you know, that others may not run, and, you know, have coaches that like this style of play or this style of player, and others don't. So I get it. I really do, you know. But as a coach and, you know, as a previous team owner, it's tough to lose good players, no doubt about it. I don't know how anybody could, you know, want to lose any players, no doubt. But, you know, sometimes it's just tough. You know, you just don't fit in. You know, the whole aspect of the game. So it is a tough situation. But nevertheless, that's where we're at. I mean, we've come to as soon as the season's over, you got to start solidifying your players, recruit new players, get your team ready to go. You know, I know in the past they've several teams played in a Thanksgiving Day game, and you know, like us before, we played in the Titan Stadium. I believe it was in September when we played that game, and I know they still do that. The Thunder hadn't been a part of it in several years, but I know there's teams that still go play in that. And so, you know, you still got to stay ready. You still got to have your players ready. I'm not saying you got to practice all the time like you normally would or whatnot, but you got to be ready. I think if you don't, I'm thinking you're going to lose your players, you know, and people dragging their feet, they're in danger of losing a lot. You know, it's hard to solidify coaches. You know, what about good coaches in women's football? You know, they seem to be the lack of, you know, we see them all the time. And you know, you hear these I got 10 coaches. Well, and then you see them, and, well, you might have one or two real coaches out there. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. But, you know, it really is. I mean, what solidifies as a good coach or not, I don't know. But when I see, you know, it takes more than just wearing a shirt that says coach on it, you know, and it takes more than just being a player. It takes a lot to be a good coach. And I'm going to be honest, I've seen some, but I've seen a lot that's not. And you know what, you got to be able to take these players that are not so good and make them good. You got to be able to rise them up, you know, and that's one thing that I've learned, you know. And I'd never coached a down football till we started the Thunder team in 2015. I did a lot of schools and coaching and roping and stuff, but never had coached football. And I'll tell you what, it was a learn on the fly kind of deal, and did lots of stuff wrong and corrected and did this and did that. And it's been an eye-opening and a great experience, you know, of just what works each team and what works for, you know, you and like I say, different offenses. You know, everybody, you know, would ask you what kind of offense you're in. Well, you know what? Until you get the players, you got an idea of stuff you want to run, but, you know, if you don't have the players, you can't run all that stuff, you know, and you might have to resort back to just running the ball. Or if you got good quarterback and receivers, that takes the pressure off of having to run it all the time. And, you know, good line, you got to have a good line for both, no matter if you run it or if you're throwing it. And it's tough. I'm telling you, it's tough. It seems like it gets tougher every year. There's so many. It don't seem like, well, I mean, there is. You got the Texas Elite has the most great players, I would say, on them as any team. But pretty much when you watch football is, you know, all there's good or great players, a handful here and there on each team. And you know what? That's tough, you know. So that makes it – it's sort of like what college football has done. You know, it's sort of like the NFL with this free agency and all the stuff. You go out here and get these players. But you look at this transfer portal in college football. I mean, you just look at what it's done. And I'm not saying it's wrong because, like I said, players don't necessarily – fit in here, but go there and just fit like a glove. And you know, these young guys coming out of high school, they don't know that. You know, somebody like Alabama is recruiting them, and they're like, shoot, yeah, one of the best teams over the past, well, maybe in the whole decade, one of the best teams, or in the history of football, is recruiting you. Who wouldn't want to go play? And then you get there, and it's like, oh man, this is nothing like what I'm used to, or you know, or just not a fit. And you know, you get to looking around, and there's lots of teams that you could probably make an impact on or running a style of offense that you're used to or think your skill set fits, and look there, you know, is that's where it's at. So there's always other people looking to move and go to other teams, and it's no different in women's football. We've come to that, you know, and players, I see players, you know, wanting to play here, wanting to play there, and you know, I get it. I mean, I don't want to, I'll be honest, I don't want to be part of a rebuilding situation either. You know, I felt like every year that I've coached this Thunder team, that's what we've been, is in a rebuilding situation, and you know, I'm not for it. I'll be honest. You know, that's whether I coach again or not. I can tell you one thing: it will not be a rebuild situation. I'm for sure done with that. And you know, I think the players as the players get some longevity under them and don't know how much longer they're going to play, I think they feel the same way. And that's across the board in NFL. NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever. All those sports, I feel like it's the, you know, the same way. And it goes right back to me talking about rodeo being a young man sport. Well, there's a couple of the older guys that are really, still really good. They want to make a run at the NFR. Is they'll team up with some of these young guys. And the problem is they got to try to go to as many events as they do to make it. And you know, you start talking about like the best roper in the world is a guy named Clay O'Brien Cooper, and I imagine he's in his early 60s now, and I mean the guy's phenomenal, but I just don't know how many, you know, every day, you know, going to maybe two or three rodeos some days and traveling up and down the road. I'm just not sure how much that he can take anymore. It's not the roping ability; the guy's unbelievable, but it's the rest of it that, you know, that makes it up. So, and I think it, you know, we see that in women's football and most definitely in NFL and stuff. These guys just, you know, get to the end of their career and they're, you know, they want to go to teams that they can compete for a Super Bowl. And I don't doubt. I mean, I don't blame them. You know, it's sort of that way. But you know, it is what it is. You know, the sport's growing. No doubt about it. Women's football is growing by leaps and bounds. I know this year, the USWFL, we've solidified to have the championship game at Waldo Stadium up there in Michigan, and that's going to be a great venue. I've never been there, of course, but it looks like a great place to play. And, you know, what about just some of these girls have never played anywhere but just local fields and that kind of stuff. And if you're fortunate enough to make the championship game or be an all-star and to be able to play in something like that on a field like that is phenomenal. I know this, that the first time that we got to play in Titan Stadium, that it was a great experience. I mean, it was probably, as far as personally, something that I was involved in, it was the best experience that I'd ever experienced in sports, being down there and having the Jumbotron on and all that. It was great. And, you know, I feel like this is going to be the same scenario. So, you know, for these girls to be, ladies, women, however you want to say it, to be able to go there if they're fortunate enough to make a championship game, or like I say, be voted on the all-star team to play and something like that's amazing. You know, I know that the WNFC plays their championship and all-star game out there at the Cowboys practice facility, and the WFA plays at the Hall of Fame in Canton. And I'm not just those are nice venues as well, no doubt, for sure. But you know, these college stadiums, they just seem to have something, you know, going on that these pros stadiums don't. I don't know if it's the way the seating is and they bring the bleachers closer to the field. I'm not sure what it all is, but it's going to be a great venue. Like I say, we got several new teams, so it's going to look totally different this year. I don't know what the schedule, don't even have a clue what the schedule is going to look like, but I know there's going to be some new teams in it. There's some returning teams that have been playing in the league for a while, and teams that have been that have played a year, and then there's some new teams. So we're going to see exactly how it all pans out. Like I say, we've got Pam and Charlie McQuiz, the commissioners, and they're really doing a great job. I ain't kidding you. They working their hind end off. I mean, you can't imagine how much being on the phone involves in this. And you know, it's like buying something, a new car or something. They call you and ask you blue million questions about it, and you know, a lot of it we just don't know until season starts. You know, it's sort of a feel your way through kind of deal. I mean, there's going to be rules, but you can't just and know exactly how everything's going to go. So lots of calls and people interested, and you know, trying to get sponsors. You know, I know we've got Douglas shoulder pads as a sponsor, these to get these Zena pads for these women, and so there's a lot. And you know, some of these new teams are most likely going to, you know, need them, and it'll be good for them to get them. You know, I don't know exactly how the teams, you know, look at it or fit their players, or you know, some teams may. Some teams may buy their team equipment, and, you know, some teams make them have their own equipment, you know, and that way if they quit or leave, they got their own stuff. So no doubt Douglas is a good pad. I know several people that wear them. I know several women that have the shoulder pads, and they they seem to love them, and it's a good product, no doubt about that. I know Miss Pam told me that they sell more internationally than they do anywhere, and I was sort of shocked at that, you know. Of course, the international game is growing by leaps and bounds. You know, I've had some Canadian owners and players and stuff on here in the past talking to them. And, you know, at one time, the WFA had a team in Canada in their league. You know, that was – I remember a lot of the players talking about how tough it was to make the game over there. All the stuff you had to get and clear to get in, it was unreal. So it was a big to do, but you know what, hey man, sport is broadening and players everywhere. You know, like I say, it's just like AFB All-Stars going to Mexico to play. There'll be several teams from around everywhere in there to play down there. So it's going to be going to be amazing. Like I say, I'm not sure of the dates on that. I know they're going to play four or five games. And, so that's a lot of football. I mean, that's as many as some teams play in a whole year. But I think, you know, it'll be hot, I'm sure. But they should have enough to get the job done. I know they went over there and the last time and took care of business. So hopefully they can – they can this week, this year as well. You know, these other countries, I'm telling you, they're getting better. I know when they went to Brazil and played, I was here and watched that, and the Brazilian team, they had some athletes. They had a good quarterback. They had some speed on that team. I was really shocked that they were as good as what they were. I mean, I don't know about how they practice or what they do over there, but I mean they were really good, and Jennifer said they really worked at it, you know. But and I seen the channel that was covering the game, they were showing them warming up, and I mean their warm ups they looked really good. I mean the quarterback standing in the pocket and had good footwork and all that was delivering strikes, so it was I was sort of impressed, just to be honest with you, the way that they played. I couldn't believe that they were as good as what they were. So say that, you know, going to Mexico this year, they're probably going to have their hands full as well. You know, like I say, I don't know where the teams are coming from, but I know the last time they went over there, they didn't even allow a score. The AFB All-Stars, I don't think they allowed a score, and they won every game. The main thing is it seems like every time they go out of the country and play internationally, they get hosed on all this, on some of the clock, you know, running when it ain't supposed to, and, you know, turnovers, you know, you for sure are not getting a home field advantage. I'll say that. And that's just in the games that I watch. And it's definitely a big challenge to go over there and play. I know when they went to Brazil, the people that transported, they had hired to transport them around. Of course, they're all from there. And they were supposed to pick them up to take them to the field. And of course, they were like an hour and a half late. And, you know, there you are, no communication, no way to get around, and no way to do this and no way to do that. And they were like an hour and a half late. And then they get to the game, and they're like, oh, we got 30 minutes, you know, before the game started. And every time the U.S. would practice, the other team was there watching. And, you know, of course, they had a closed practice, I believe. And, you know, it's just sort of the, you know, about like our team in Olympics. You know, it seems like whoever hosts that Olympics is a way bigger. You know, they get all the breaks, and we don't. I don't care what happens. You know, that it happens that way. And you know, maybe it's more obvious than, you know, to us than it is. But, you know, when you sit here and watch it and you hope that you go out of the country and play and you're at the mercy of everything that goes on over there, you can't even control, your bus. You can't even control your ride. I mean, one day they took them to the wrong place. Oh, well, then the next time I think they moved the game. You know, and they're not even finding out all this. And like I said here, they can't even communicate. And they're finding all this out. And the game's supposed to start at 2 o'clock. And they're supposed to get picked up at 11:30. And they don't even show up till 1 o'clock. Then have to drive 30 minutes or so to the game. And, yeah, that's not good. You know, I don't know who – that's not good. I don't care who it is. I mean, you're hosting this stuff. You gotta be better than that. You got to, you can't be pulling that kind of stuff, man. I mean, if you're really worried about winning, then you gotta do it that way. That's a little crazy to me, but, it's a great experience for these women to go over and play internationally like that. The language barrier, of course, is different. I imagine the refs are, you know, they don't speak English and they call different stuff, different things. I mean, it's the same game, but, you know, I noticed like in the Brazilian game, I never could even tell when it was between the quarters, you know, when I don't believe they swapped ends or nothing. I think they let the clock run most of the time. I couldn't ever tell when the clock was, when the quarter was about to end, or if it was just a timeout, or what was going on. So, you know, that's tough. But, you know, that's good for you to go play in another country and play by those rules and that kind of stuff. Sort of, like I say, gives you a perspective of what goes on other than what happens here in the U.S. So, you know, I may get to go on that trip. We're still talking about it. I'm not real fond of flying, you know, and I don't know how long the flight it is, but I'm not sure that I can take it. I mean, boy, they pack you in there and those planes really tight and the seats are rough. And shoot, last time we flew in some bad turbulence, and I just can't take that stuff. So we're working on some things for me to go maybe and a way to maybe drive to Houston. I'd like to just drive over there. I'm a little afraid once I get across the border that, you know, I don't know any Spanish, and the fact that I don't know anywhere I'm going or my way around is, you know, not a popular – would not be a popular thing, I wouldn't think, for me. Dumb old country boy here from Tennessee probably wouldn't work too good, but that's really what I'd like to do is drive and, you know, to see part of the country. I love going to, you know, different places and seeing the country, and driving is the best way to do it. You get to see it all and stuff like that. So I've enjoyed it over the years, seeing all these places, and I would really love it, but I'm just sort of afraid, you know. I don't know anybody, and I don't know, like I say, Spanish, and don't know my way around. That would be, you know, be a little scary and iffy, but I would for sure love to do it, and hopefully, if I get to go, maybe I can get out and wander around the country some, and see what it's like, you know, and see out in the country, not just around these cities, you know, these border cities. They're usually pretty nasty and trashy, but I'd like to get out in the country. I've heard lots about it, like, you know, it's pretty country over there, and but I've never really got to ride around over there and see it. But hopefully, if I get to go, I will. That's what I'm hoping for, but we'll see. But that game's going to be in November, and game, not this game, but that event, I should say, that event's going to be in November. And I'm telling you, here it is, you know, the August is a third of the way over, you know. It's going to be here on us before you know it. And so it'll sneak up on us before you know it. But anyway, I don't guess Wallace can get free, Coach Mike Wallace. They didn't get done in time, but maybe we can get him on here next week to talk about the game and what happened. And you know, hopefully we'll get some more football going. I know next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday, it's going to be in full motion, you know. And I know we used to pick those games on a little old, we used to do a little Facebook thing ever Wednesday or Thursday and pick all those games, and that was pretty cool to pick them and see who all, you know, the favorites, you know, take some of the favorites, but a lot of times you don't know anything about them, and to pick them and just to guess and all that's pretty neat and fun, and we used to have a good time doing that, so we may get back into something like that, but every week is a different week, and, you know, sports-wise, It keeps on coming. Right now it's probably baseball about the only thing going on. I know the Little League World Series going on. I've seen some of it on TV, you know, and that's a big internationally grown sport now, you know, Little League World Series. So that thing's been up there in Pennsylvania for years. And, you know, I seen a thing the other day, how many actually Major League Baseball players come out of that Little League World Series. It's pretty amazing, to be honest with you. And I'll tell you, the guy, I don't know who was playing, me and Jennifer seen it on TV, a little guy pitching, looked like he was pretty good. Some guy, you know, big old boy come up to hit, had a good swing, and made some good contact with the ball. So, you know, that's great. I'd love to see women's football get to, you know, something like that to start around here, a youth league for these young girls to play and these high school girls to play. You know, it can be done with a little bit of hard work and help and get them started and, you know, get them going the right way. So when they, you know, they want to play, if we don't build these, you know, have these kind of teams for these young girls, then, you know, a lot of them just fall by the wayside, you know, once they graduate, then, you know, playing football or a sport's the farthest thing from their mind, and they're all, you know, on to college or move out of town or go to work and or all the above. And, you know, it just changes everything. So, you know, if you get them in, I'd like to see done around here like they did in Utah and grow that and help the sport. You know, because I know this. I know is you know, Jennifer would have loved to have played when she was young and growing up and all that. But even, you know, even to have played, you know, when she was 18, you know, she was a long time after that before she could play. And the knowledge she's gained just over the years, you know, of playing. So we need to, you know, do something like that in each state. I swear we do. It wouldn't take that much effort, but it would take effort. This wouldn't take that much effort, but, you know, it just seems like nobody has the time and nobody wants to take the time. And, you know, I'll be honest, I would be glad to help in a situation like that, but I sure don't want to do it. I'm not full board on doing it all, that's for sure. But anyway, we're going to get off here tonight and see what we find next week to talk about. Hopefully, I've got some good news to talk about. The roping went well. And you know, I, like I said, I can't, you know, tell you how excited I am just to be back roping and riding after everything that I went through and all that, and I'm just happy to be back at it. And that's something it meant a lot to me to get started back when I was laying up there and didn't know what was going to happen. It was a big part, so I'm real excited about it. Hopefully I'll have some good stuff to talk about, and maybe we can catch up with Coach Mike Wallace and whoever, you never know who else we might find. So, again, I appreciate everybody for listening. Can't thank J.C. Hawk Sports Network enough for giving us this opportunity every week to talk about sports and women's football and things that she's done for the sport over the years. So, giving an old country boy from Tennessee like me an opportunity. So, we couldn't do it without her, and I thank her every week. So, appreciate everybody for tuning in. We'll see what we can get into next week. So, until then, we'll see.